So today we have a topical class, and since it is a topical class, I was advised to skip the reciting, and so we'll have more time. But anyway, I chose one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and I'll start with that verse. So I'll just read it, and then we can go directly to the topic. So we are reading 12th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 51. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan astihe ko mahan gunaha kirtanate va krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmari Shri Guraye Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dudati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavindam Vantyakalpatarubhyacha Gripasindubhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the last class was given by His Holiness Yadunandana Swami, and he gave the class, actually he gave an introduction to Nectar of Devotion, and where he also mentioned the five actually most potent characteristics of devotional service, namely chanting of the holy name together with hearing Bhagavatam, serving devotees, visiting holy places, and worshipping the deities. On this class, I'm going to concentrate specifically on the chanting the holy name, and my focus will be not just chanting the holy name, but particularly offensive chanting and the results that are coming from offensive chanting. In this verse that I read, it stated that in this Kali Yuga there is only one good quality about this age, and that good quality is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And there are two things that can come like an outcome from chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the first one is one becomes free from material bondage. And the reference of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we find it in Kali Santarana Upanishad. And there it is said that mantra, which contains 32 syllables, can help someone to get liberation. And that mantra liberates. And it's called Taraka Mantra. And Taraka Mantra comes from the word Tara, which means crosses. It helps someone to cross this material world. But besides this explanation, our acharyas also give another explanation. They say it's not just Taraka Mantra, it's Paramataraka Mantra. And it's more than just giving liberation. And here in Bhagavatam itself, one becomes free from material bondage, but the second one is one becomes promoted to the transcendental kingdom. And that is actually the real interest of the Vaishnava. And it's not just to become free from bad habits, but also to be promoted, here he said, to be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. That means one becomes qualified to meet Krishna face to face. And the only qualification that we need to meet Krishna is to have pure love for Krishna. And that is that pure love of Krishna, we can get it by chanting the holy name of Krishna. And it is not so we can see it's a process that takes place in our heart, which purifies our heart and establishes this eternal relationship, and that permanent state of intense feelings or of intense love towards Krishna is called bhava. But however, many times we say it's not that easy, and the difficulty comes when the mantra is not chanted properly, and when it's chanted with offenses. And what was really striking for me is when I heard in from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I read in his Harinam Chintamani that actually it's not that we just, when we don't chant properly Hare Krishna, when we chant with offensively, it's not that it's just cause of, it's not that just destroys our bhakti, but it's actually, it's a cause for all other offenses. It's a cause for offenses that we do towards Vaishnavas. It's offenses, all offenses, all miseries actually that are coming in our life are actually caused by inattentive chanting. And then I thought, this is a bit maybe too much. How is that possible? And what is the relationship, the relation between chanting the holy name and all other activities that we do in our life? And many times devotees say, when I say, oh, I'm depressed today, I say, oh, did you chant your rounds nicely? And how is that connected? I mean, sometimes it was really difficult to me to understand. But then somehow I came across Srila Jiva Goswami explanation about the five results that are coming from inattentive chanting. And it is amazing how he actually establishes this relationship between chanting the Maha Mantra and all other offenses that we are committing and the miseries that are coming in our life. And he, according to Jiva Goswami, he's saying when we lose this gratitude towards the Lord, and when we lose this feeling, when we lose bhakti, then offenses comes. And we know the 10 offenses, and we know that being inattentive during chanting is actually the key of all other offenses. And what are the results? And he said, so Jiva Goswami said, the first result from committing offenses towards the holy name is one becomes crooked and hypocritical. And what does it mean? I mean, when we say that someone is hypocritical, we mainly think he's saying one thing, but he's doing something else, or he's thinking something else. And that is actually what we do when we chant inattentively. We call Krishna, but we don't think about Krishna. And we tell him, practically, you're just saying someone, I love you, but it's like during you do something completely not, it's such an important statement that you do, but the context or the activities that they're doing, it's just ridiculous when someone sees. And Krishna will not come. Or because who will come? Who will come when he's invited from someone when the invitation is spoken so randomly? And it's interesting how Jiva Goswami gives the example of Duryodhana. And he said, when Duryodhana heard that Krishna will come in Hastinapur, and he arranged everything, because he heard Krishna likes to eat, and what he did, he made such a feast with, I don't know, 108 preparations, and he at that time I think Dushasana had the best palace in Hastinapur, so he kicked out the Dushasana from the palace, and he said Krishna will stay here in a few days, and Krishna came, and he said, I'm not coming. And Duryodhana was shocked. How come you're not coming? I mean, I did everything that he even invited girls that will dance for Krishna. And he said, I did everything, and you're not coming? Krishna said, No, I will go. I will go at Vidura's place, and because he offered some banana peels. And then Duryodhana just couldn't understand. He said, but why? Just tell me why. I did so many things. And he said, because you don't like my devotees. And if you don't love my devotees, then you don't love me. So whatever you do for me, it's just, it's a symptom of hypocrisy. And, but here I said, I just thought, during this example, Jiva Goswami is not showing how hypocrisy is connected to the holy name, but when we nourish this hypocrisy, it's also then later is manifested towards devotees and towards everything we do in our life. It's just the mentality that we adopt. And he's saying it's coming from the offensive chanting is that one is losing his shraddha or his faith. And he's saying once you lose your shraddha, that it's such a miserable state because you're not able anymore to recognize the glories of the devotees, you will see so many exalted Vaishnavas who just have this splendor from their, that comes from their bliss, but you will not be able to recognize that. And you will hear the holy name, but you cannot feel even a single kind of drop of that nectar that you can otherwise take from the holy name. You can see even the nature, you know, that kind of, sometimes we say the lowest stage of religious life, which is everything, when you see everything in this pantheistic approach, when you see everything that is created from God. But even that you cannot recognize, even then you cannot recognize that is only Lord's creation. And it's a miserable state. And he said, again he gave the example with Duryodhana, and he said when Duryodhana saw the universal form, Krishna was merciful. Krishna showed Duryodhana his universal form, and he could see all demigods and all advanced devotees, all living entities in the universe. They were paying obeisances to Lord Krishna. But what Duryodhana said, he said, "Oh, it's just a mystic trick of some yogi." And I thought, but then sometimes people from other religion, especially I'm coming from Orthodox background, so they're very much into miracles, and they want to see something miraculous happening, and their faith becomes even stronger, and usually they ask me, like, but when I was talking once about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I said, but did he do something miraculous that can show and can prove his exalted position? But when I read this, I see that even the most miraculous thing can happen to you. Duryodhana saw the universal form of the Lord. But if you don't have this initial faith, it's just useless. And for a devotee, even seeing, I don't know, garland on his way, it's such a strong sign. It's a miracle. It's a miracle and sign that Krishna sends to him. Seeing Vaishnava just in a supermarket can be such a sign that, aha, Krishna is this, Krishna is talking to me. So it's a relative thing, and everything comes from the Shraddha, from the faith. The third result that Jiva Goswami is talking about is, he's saying, when one chants inattentively, the result is that he becomes even more inattentive. He becomes even more lazy, and in his chanting he's becoming even more mechanical and even more negligent towards the holy name. So being mechanical leads to being even more mechanical. It's not that something you can stop, or you're just you start chanting mechanically and from tomorrow you'll just, okay, I'll improve my job. But no, it's a step that will lead you even to forgetfulness of the glories of the holy name even more and more. And Jivaka Goswami here gave really, really good example. And first, I couldn't see the connection with the result and the conclusion that he's making. He's giving the example of Indradyumna Maharaj from the 8th canto. And he said, Indradyumna Maharaj, he was worshipping the Lord. He was doing puja. And during that time, some muni came on his door, and the muni knocked. But Indradyumna Maharaj, he just continued worshipping the Lord. And he didn't open the door. And he even tried with the corner of his eye to see if the muni is looking, how fixed up he is. But Krishna was not pleased with that. Actually, Krishna was offended. Because when Vaishnava comes and knocks on your door, you leave, you just stop your puja, you take your plate, and you open the door and you start worshipping the Vaishnava. Because the Vaishnava came by himself, and he's Narayan himself, and then Krishna will be pleased. And then I was thinking, but how is this connected to the point that if you become mechanical, then you become even more mechanical right during the chanting? But actually what Duryodhana did, he didn't have the bhakti. And that's just mechanically doing puja. But if someone is worshipping the Lord with intense feelings, then the spontaneous love comes. And when you see and worship the Lord, and when you hear that Vaishnava is knocking on your door, you'll be spontaneously attracted to go open the door for the Vaishnava, worship the Vaishnava, offer seat to a Vaishnava, offer a glass of water to the Vaishnava. And what happened to Indradyumna is that because of that offense, he, next life, he was born as an elephant. And even that is not just... It also has a reason why he was born as an elephant. Because elephants, they have thick skin. And whoever has a thick skin, they don't feel much. So he got the curse. He will not feel much of the bliss. He will not get the opportunity to feel the bliss again. And that is the outcome of mechanical chanting. We are building that thick skin. And it's just becoming an elephant in one sense or another. We are deciding not to hear anymore. We decided not to feel anymore, right? Sometimes we say when you don't feel, or where someone is like completely emotionally handicapped, and we say he has kind of, I don't know if you say it in English, it's a thick skin, yeah. So that what happens if we just stop hearing the holy name. The fourth result that comes, I recognize myself very much in this, and it was really a revolution when I read this. It is that you're becoming even more detached, and detachments, they come in your life. Usually I say like, okay, now I cannot chant. I mean, it's such a difficult period in my life, and Krishna, don't you see? I mean, I'll do my 16 rounds, but I do it because I just promised. I gave the vow, but now I have to overcome now this difficulty. And then I see that my bad chanting comes from my problems in my life. But actually Jiva Goswami says, no, it's the other way around. It's the opposite. Detachment comes because of inattentive chanting. And then when I think, what did I say? Attachment comes from inattentive chanting. Oh, no, attachment. Attachment. Yeah. Attachment comes from inattentive chanting, from being inattentive. Material attachments. Yeah.
I thought you meant you become more detached from chanting.
That's what I thought too.
What? You become more?
More detached from chanting. In other words, you're not paying attention.
No. Material attachments come even more when you're inattentive. Because the point was that I was thinking, now I'm attached, and I got this attachment. It's such a strong, such a big problem for me in my life. And therefore, I cannot chant properly. But actually, it's the other way. You cannot chant properly, and as a result, the attachment will come. And more attachments will come. You just open the space for more attachments to come to you. And then actually when I thought, actually it was right, because the time when I become more vulnerable, it was the time when I was not chanting properly. And the example that Jiva Goswami is giving is the example of Bharata Maharaj. And he said, Bharata Maharaj, at the beginning, and that is the initial mercy that we get from the holy name, when we become so enthusiastic. He at the very beginning, he could so easily give up everything. He said he could give up his beautiful woman, wife, who was as beautiful as one apsara. He could give up his son, his son was so sweet and so obedient. And he could just... He just gave up everything. But then, due to offense, he became attached to a deer. And it's so ridiculous. I mean, he could give up the whole family. And at the end, he ended up attached to a deer. And he just couldn't even chant God, Krishna's name anymore. Because he was saying dear, 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 and he couldn't chant Krishna's names anymore. And it shows that the mercy of the Maha Mantra at the beginning is very strong, but then Maha Mantra can withdraw its power. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also saying, chanting the holy name without feelings, chanting the holy name without paying attention to it, is no better than letters of the alphabet. But then we may say, but we also say that there are no limitations, so you can chant the holy name everywhere, and I also wonder, there has to be some potency in the holy name itself. Yeah, but Prabhupada is giving the example of cooking on a smoke. You can say, yeah, you can. There is something, and it's like cooking on a smoke, but it's not like the fire. We can even say, yeah, wherever there is a smoke, there is also fire. But you will on smoke, you will cook your lunch for 3-4 days, and it's still how it will be cooked. It's another question, but when you have fire, when you have strong fire, the cooking is different. And the fifth result that comes from inattentive chanting is pride. Pride arises when one loses his bhakti. And then one loses his bhakti and he has to cover himself somehow. And how to cover himself? With pride. And usually, I read someone wrote, pride is actually nothing more than a veil by which you can cover your stupidity. And it's true, you don't have anything. You don't have anything to show. And then you just take pride and you think you're protected. And it's some way you are protected because people run away from you. And then pride comes. Jiva Goswami is giving the example of Daksha, but he shows how actually with Daksha's example, when pride comes, then of course offenses comes, and when one offense comes, then another offense comes. One offense leads to the next offense, and Daksha, he made this yagya, and Lord Shiva was there, but Lord Shiva, he didn't show his respect to Daksha. And Daksha was so offended, so he was offended, and he offended Lord Shiva. And as a result, next life he was born with a head of a goat. But the next life he was born again as a Daksha. And what did he do? He offended he offended Narada Muni. And Jiva Goswami is saying he did one offense, but that offense, because of that offense, was pride, and that pride led him to another offense. So it's somehow a force that if we're just driven by that force, and it just leads us and takes us more and more further towards committing more offenses. And more we get into that trap, it's more and more difficult to get out of that trap. And then it's how is that all connected to chanting of the holy name? And then I thought when Srila Prabhupada said, Jai Jai Shirada Gopinatha Ki. And then Prabhupada said once, this movement cannot be destroyed from outside. Even government cannot destroy this movement. The only thing that can destroy from movement is from inside. But this is also can be applicable on lower, not lower, but on individual level. Because we may have active external life. And what is our internal life? Our internal life is the chanting of the holy name. Those 2 hours that we spend by ourselves and Krishna, those 2 hours when we get the opportunity to talk to Krishna, to pray to Krishna, those 2 hours are our internal life. And as the society cannot be destroyed from inside, thus the individual cannot be destroyed from outside, but only from inside. And that is that individual individual discussion, individual that that process that takes place in our heart, that cleaning process when our heart is cleansed. And if we just chant our rounds attentively, and if we just pay attention, and it's not just pay attention, but also because there is also said there are three characteristics or of inattentive chanting: falling asleep, being not intense enough, and there was another one.
Big
distract from material objects, and so we may hear the holy name, but if the chanting is not intense enough, it's there, but it's not just hearing. It's not just hearing some material sound, but the intensity of the prayer has to be there, and we should also understand it as a prayer. It is not just repeating mantras. It is not just some karma kanda activity where just we chant this holy name, we chant this mantra, and then I get the result from this demigod, and then this is arranged. Now I chant different mantra, so it will be auspicious for this situation. It is not like that. It is a prayer. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying, whenever there is a prayer, there is also asking for benediction. And sometimes devotees, we think, but when we chant the holy name, it's completely unmotivated. But that's not true. The right thing is that you ask for the right benediction. It's not that pure devotee doesn't ask for benediction. He's just asking for the right benediction. And he's just asking that knowledge that he has about the absolute truth become realized. Or he's asking for a pure love for God. And that is the asking for the right benediction. And it has to be done in a prayerful mood. It's interesting, like in Chetodarpana Marjanam, there is this saying, Chetodarpana Marjanam, when the mirror of the mind will be cleansed. But also there is Vidyabani Jivanam, where the holy name, when the holy name will enlighten that knowledge. And there is interesting metaphor which is implicit in this Vidyabani Jivanam, because Vidyabani also means Bani or Vadi, also means just nearly married wife. So as a just married wife is enlivened by her husband, that's how the holy name enlivens the transcendental knowledge. So as spiritual knowledge is enlivened by the holy name, it's not just a dry speculation, it's not just information that you take from the scriptures, but that information will lead to transformation, and that is done through the holy name. When the pill starts to act when you take a medicine, but you also need to take a water or whatever, is there a liquid that will make the medicine active? And that what will make the medicine active is the holy name. And these are two things that always go together. I think I should stop here. Because time. Six? There are five. Yeah. Maybe there is six. Well, the first result. I forgot them. The first result is one becomes crooked and hypocritical. The second one is one loses his shraddha or his faith. The third one is when one is negligent, he becomes even more negligent, he becomes slack. And if one is mechanical, he becomes even more mechanical. The fourth one is attachments are coming even more in our life. And the fifth one is pride arises. Yes, so thank you very much. Yeah, corrections, comments?
No, about the correction, but I'm a little confused because in the Bhagavatam it says that Indrajumna Swami, Indrajumna Maharaj,
It's not that he's. Jiva Goswami says that that's why he was born next life as an elephant. That Jiva Goswami's explanation. That no, that looking through the eyes, it's like I just gave it like it's.
So Maharaj,
He said that he was pride, and because he thought that he's doing the right thing out of duty, but he didn't have bhakti.
Just in thinking about what Marie is saying is that I think it has to. It would seem to me that it has to do with the intention, because sometimes we become inattentive because, like you said, our mind is attached to material things or whatever. But sometimes, on the order of the spiritual master, we chant with a sincere intention. However, because of lack of experience or lack of advancement, we're inattentive while we're chanting. But on the order of the spiritual master, we continue to chant, thinking that by chanting, eventually we'll be purified, because we have faith in the process. But there's another way of being inattentive, that we can be inattentive due to lack of faith, or due to false pride, or due to so many reasons. We become inattentive in a kind of casual way, almost deliberate way, that we just get our rounds done. And then that inattentiveness has a different effect than if we're intended, but we're still trying to
Well, Prabhupada is explaining there are three types of chanting. There is offensive chanting, there is hearing, and there is pure chanting. So the first one, offensive chanting, is you just chant, but you think of other things. Hearing is not that you are completely fixed, but you make this conscious decision that whenever I see that my mind is going and is distract, I'll bring him back. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think Prabhupada said this chanting can even give liberation. I have to check, but I heard that somewhere. And regarding to that, what Gopal Hari Prabhu said, and even Jiva Goswami said in his Bhagavad Sandarbha, the only way is to just continue chanting. The cure is, again, you just keep chanting. And but the thing is that you have to make, to come to this hearing stage, when you just make this decision, and because it's a question of your will. Will you make this conscious decision? Okay, now I'll really try. Because I notice when I chant, I just don't know when does it happen that my mind goes. That moment, I just don't know when does it happen. But as soon as you notice that it is not focused on the holy name, you just bring it back, and that is the step that they have to be taken in order to, and it will lead you to the next step, and that is pure chanting. Thank you very much. Grand Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki.